Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you want to listen live, all you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, if you want to catch this show on video, be sure to check out Zumo TV, channel 719. That's where you can find Sports Grid's Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening.
You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gable Morenci, throwing it down with the Raging Redhead. Cam Stewart, get on the grid. We're on the grid. Rick Seracala's on the grid as well. He'll join us in a couple of minutes. The NFL Draft Bible will continue our NFL Draft breakdowns. We'll get back to your questions as well. As I mentioned, FanDuel has some very interesting props that have been posted for the National Football League draft. We were talking about Jalen Hurts, and when it comes down to it, Cam, you know, the book seems to be pretty convinced that he's going to be a third-round pick at plus 100. It's plus 160. For the second round, plus 100 for the third round. Do you think it's a third round or he makes it into the fourth round? Plus 100 is not enough value for me to bet it.
I agree.
If it was like plus 150 third round, I'd take a swing like it was like the plus 160 price.
I agree.
But I don't know. I think he might be a fourth rounder, to be honest.
I agree. That's exactly what I think. I think he's going to be late third or fourth. So that's the thing, Gabe. The thing is, with these props, you would take a flyer, but I need at least 2-1 in the second round. Plus 150, 160 isn't going to change my life. It's nice to get plus money, but when you're projected, you know, late second, third, I need something more. Then in the third round, we don't get any money. It's basically, you know, an even money bet, plus 100. No thanks. I don't think I want to go there. If they gave me plus to the fourth round, then we could start talking because, yes, I do believe if I had my projections, he's going to be late third, but I would take a flyer with fourth. I don't think he goes in the second round. Those are the bets that I'd make. If we had plus money, I'd take a chance with a fourth. But third and even money, not enough for me to take.
You know what I find interesting? FanDuel posted some props. The first three picks, exact order.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm getting flashbacks now of hitting this last year, actually. I hit this last year, and I think I did well with the NBA. One, if you recall, I played like a bunch of the scenarios though. And I got one of them right. But yeah, there was a trade or something.
So, I got burned. Yeah. When we got burned on the NBA, we did great. Wasn't it that fifth pick? And we had a guy like it was 5.5, oh, whatever. But I think
Trey Young.
Yeah. I forget who it was, but somebody went like a couple spots before or else we would have swept the board. I remember. And the
we
other
got that kid by from, a trade,
there was a kid
in, and by a trade.
Last year was that kid from Virginia who went a little bit higher than we thought he was going to go too. So anyway,
well, listen, but first three picks. So this is what they think is going to happen. Joe Burrow.
Yes.
Chase Young.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yep.
They've got Tua going third overall in this prop at plus 100.
No.
So that means the odds makers, the book is thinking that someone's going to trade up for Tua.
Yep.
Unless they think the Detroit Lions are going to take Tua. The Detroit Lions have the third pick.
I think they might take a quarterback, Gabe.
I don't think they will. Matt Stafford's still pretty good.
I hate to tell you, I actually did this. Remember when I checked my bet that we made before? It was two quarterbacks in the first five picks to plus money. Good luck getting that price again. I'm glad I clicked
on
that.
That's free money.
Gabe, I did some crazy stuff when we first started taping, remember? And these things pay like a couple, like $200-$300. So I'm glad I put a little bit more down.
This is why. You're getting rewarded for putting your money early.
I am.
That's why a lot of people, guys, we talk about these props and you're thinking, oh, they're talking about props. The draft is 3.5 weeks away or whatever. Guys, number one, some of these cool props we brought up, I can't even find them, Cam, anymore.
Nope, that prop's
gone.
They're
up there, then they're gone. It's right. They, once they take enough action on some of these things, they might put them back after at a different price.
Yeah.
But basically, it's a feeling out process. And another thing is the prices change, guys, on these props. So that's like Cam got in some great bets. Only two quarterbacks taken in the top five for plus 300. That's like free money.
Yeah. So
that's
I pushed.
Like, that's free money. Joe Burrow's automatic number one, and two is going to go in the top five for sure.
Yeah, so it's a push, and if there's three, it's crazy. Like,
You know why you were smart, Cam? You got this bet in before people realized Tua's kind of healthier than they thought. There was always this big thing that, like, Tua's really hurt or something. He's not. Like, basically, I read that if the season started in September and he needed to play, he could be the starter.
Yeah.
The only thing is, it's even better. Teams are like, well, you know, he's not 100% healthy yet. So let's just draft him and not rush him on the field right away, right?
Yeah, I did another one.
That's the thing.
I did another one, Gabe, and they took this one off, and I had to bet it. It's funny. It's just what you said. Tua, for the Lions to draft Tua, was 9-1, and I saw it again at plus 500 on another book when we first started. I clicked it. I put $40 on it at 9-1, but now it's the same bet. It's 5-1.
There's a Dolphin prop where he's minus 150 now, Tua.
Ooh, and it was minus 280 before.
Minus 150. All right, so Joe Burrow, Chase Young, Tua's plus 100. I don't think that's the most common thing to happen here. Now, if you look at mock drafts, and mock drafts are mock drafts for a reason. All right, all the guys, I'll tell you what, I've never seen one website where you have a current NFL general manager or scout writing a mock draft. It's always guys that are...
Yeah. I use Walter Football for my mock draft.
I can give you Morenci's mock stock picks, too, if you want. Yeah. It's their mock. Like, sure. So... But we're just going to say, listen, I brought up Walter Football. He's pretty good. There's some more respected guys. I don't mind Mel Kiper and McShay, but I think you can dig a little deeper and get into some former scouts if you get into the real football world out there. But another one, Joe Burrow, Chase Young, Okuda, the cornerback out of Ohio State. That's, Cam, the most predicted top three that I've seen. Like, as far as I'm concerned, Joe Burrow to the Bengals, Chase Young, number two, to the Redskins.
Yep.
And Okuda, the defensive back out of Ohio State, with the third pick to the Detroit Lions.
Slay. Makes a lot of sense.
And you got Matt Patricia's your defensive guy. You know, I don't think they're going to bump Matt Stafford yet. That's just my personal opinion. That's plus 220. I would have made that plus 100, Ken. Mm-hmm. I do think that's the most common thing. Yet we're not taking into account trades. So we have another one. Joe Burrow, number one. Tua, number two. Chase Young, number three, plus 300.
That could happen.
That's like, so you know what this is telling me? Whoever sets the number for FanDuel really believes that somebody's trading up Tua.
I agree. That's exactly. So if I were you, another thing you do, so what teams are going to trade up to get a quarterback? You have to figure that one up. Chargers? That's a team, like, they're talking Tyrod Taylor. Gabe, it's what we talk about. Did you not see that story? Tyrod Taylor, oh, you're going to be surprised when I take this team really, really far. It's all this thing. No, I got it. You got to sell yourself, but they're also bigging them up. The whole deal of the draft is basically a shell game. You want to trick other teams. Oh, he had a horrible interview. This guy.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
I don't believe anything that these guys are telling me or selling me. So
I think it's a good point, Cam, that one thing. The teams are going to panic. If you're the Dolphins, you have to be very concerned that someone's going to trade up over you.
Yes.
Right? To Washington. If Washington have Haskins and they're not, I don't think they're going to draft a quarterback.
I think they want to
take Chase Young. So Washington could be in a good spot, essentially, thinking, well, if we trade, we might still be able to get Chase Young, but this is where it's very difficult, guys, and you know it's hard. It's almost like betting on wrestling. We were talking about how the hell do we know what some of these erratic general managers in the National Football League are going to do?
Exactly.
Right? That's the thing right now. So put it this way, like, I got to believe, Cam, let's say the Miami Dolphins say, we're not screwing around. We hold the fifth pick in the draft, and we also hold the 18th pick in the draft. We're going to trade up our fifth with the Redskins to two. And if you're the Redskins, you get the fifth pick, and the Miami Dolphins also have the 18th pick in the first round.
That's right.
That's pretty enticing. Like, normally, I'm like, I don't like trading picks if I'm a guy, and, you know, it's like, all right, what am I getting out of this? Let me ask, if you were a GM, would you trade the second pick in the draft for the fifth pick and the 18th pick?
Definitely.
You can get two pretty good freaking players in a top 18.
Definitely.
Instead of one.
Yeah, and this year is the year to do it, because we talked about the wide receiver depth, the running back depth. Wouldn't you rather have two picks? I remember, as a Seattle fan, when I moved up north, Gabe, the whole draft that changed them was the year they got Walter Jones and Sean Springs. They had two picks in there, and boom, boom. And after that, things got a lot better for that franchise. They didn't screw it up. Both guys turned out amazing. I would definitely do that, because think about the talent that you can get. Two guys in the top 18, you're still going to get Swift. You're still going to get your guys. You can get high-quality talent. I'll tell you, if we were in the war room and somebody offered that deal, we nudge each other and say, let's do it. I know the two pick looks good. I'd rather have two picks inside the top 18, definitely.
That's why, you know, these props, I'll tell you, I would never bet the number one Joe Burrow, Chase Young, two at plus 100. No value whatsoever. No. Joe Burrow, Chase Young, Jeff Okuda, I think that is the most sort of thing that would happen if there's not trades. And there's going to be trades. You know, there's going to be trades. There just always is. And when the trades happen, they always happen in the top end of things, because one guy, all it takes is one. Hell, look, the Chicago Bears traded up to get Mitch Trubisky. So you're telling me that nobody's going to panic a day before the draft and say, you know what, I'm taking two, and no matter what, I'm climbing up. I'm going to get there.
Yeah.
So the Joe Burrow, Tua number two, Chase Young is only plus 300. You have Joe Burrow, Chase Young, Isaiah Simmons, 9-1. Joe Burrow, Tua, Okuda, 20-1. That's not crazy, actually, at 20-1. Joe Burrow, first overall. Somebody trades up second with the Redskins to get Tua. And then, boom, the Lions. Nah, but you know what? I want to get Chase Young third. That's what I want, Cam.
Yeah.
I want that. And, of course, they won't give it to me. No, come on, Seymour. There better be under Seymour. That's the one I'm looking for, Kevin. Joe Burrow 1, Tua 2. Because get this, if somebody traded up to get Tua 2, I'm telling you, the Detroit Lions wouldn't pass up Chase Elliott at 3. So then he would go 3 suddenly.
Here's the thing. The Lions, I think, hold the key to everything. And you bring up the point. Do they go and draft a quarterback because Stafford's old? If they do, they're probably going to pick Tua right there. I think the Lions actually, it's funny, I was thinking the same thing, and I've been on a couple mocks. If they trade down or whatever, here's the thing. Tua has a great chance. The Chargers are not going into this thing with Tyrod Taylor. I don't care what anybody tells me. The Chargers are going to find a way. I think they are drafting Tua. It's between them and Miami, and one of those teams.
As of our conversation. Right. I mean, our show airs, you know, it's difficult circumstances. We're day behind or so. But they could sign Cam Newton for a year. They could bring in Jameis Winston, the Chargers, still.
But I don't think they will. I think they're going to go draft. I think they're going to move up for Tua. Like, it's one of those things. There's something that team's close. And that's a fit that I think can work. But, hey, Gabe, we're not general managers. We're just estimating. But you're right. A lot of dominoes are going to fall this draft, because we know Cincinnati's taking Burrow. That's a lock. What are the Redskins? What are they going to do? I really don't know.
The Redskins will take Chase Young, or they'll trade the pick.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I don't think the Redskins would be adverse to trading a pick.
I agree with that.
Like I said, if I was the Redskins and the Dolphins called me and they offered me 5-18 for the two, you can even squeeze a little bit more out of them. You can say, and next year's second round pick. Yeah, sure. You know what I mean? And just one more, right? Like, deal. You know what I'm saying? You wouldn't get next year's first two. That's too excessive to move up. Like,
third or a fourth, maybe.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying second round. I'd tell them, you guys want two of this band? Because it's obvious if you're moving up to two, you're desperate. So I'd say, listen, I'll take your 5, your 18, and your 2 next year. And then we're getting some pretty good players out of this right now.
Yeah, exactly.
But the Miami Dolphins, you know, I don't know. Do they like Herbert better, right? I mean, we're not even really talking about Herbert too much. But Yeah, there was a prop cam. I know you took a look at this one. I found it to be pretty interesting too, and it shows the power, doesn't it, of the SEC. First round draft picks, SEC versus the world.
Oh, that's awesome. And you know what the crazy thing is, Gabe? I looked up and down, and it is close. It is razor thin. Like, I'm telling you, like, you look at the guys in the SEC that are drafted in this draft in all mocks, it's like literally, like, it is like off by one, maybe two at the most. Like, I did it again. I went to a couple different sites, Walter Football, at like five or six different mocks. I'm telling
you. SEC total is 15 and a half.
Yeah.
So basically, look. Like that, dude, there's 32 picks. They're basically, and so that's 16.
Yeah,
they're basically saying SEC's half the draft.
Yep.
Which I'm not really in a rush to get in front of that, to be honest.
I'm going
to
go under by, you know what I think? I think 14 or 15 get drafted by the SEC. 16
is a little bit like, what, 5, 4, 5?
Yeah, well, now it depends. Tons of LSU, too. Tons of LSU. Throw in a couple Georgia.
I know, yeah.
Hey, there's a South Carolina Gamecock in there. That's SEC.
There's quite a few Big Ten guys, though, too, isn't there?
Yes. And you got remember the other schools, TCU, Iowa, Wisconsin's got Taylor. I think
you know how much the ACC has fallen when they're over under for picks in the first round is 2.5 players.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. It might even go under. There might be like two players from Clemson.
Just for the record, yeah. So the SEC is 15.5, over under 15.5 players. And we'll have time, guys. We'll get into this more depthly, maybe conference by conference. SEC is 15.5, but it's -152 to the over. ACC, 2.5 players only, but -250 to the over. Big Ten, 5.5 players.
I want to go 12. You know what? Big Ten, 5.5? I think we can go over there, can't we? That seems low.
I'll tell you what, right off the top of our head, the second overall pick in the draft, Chase Young, is Ohio State.
Yeah, exactly. Iowa, that kid Wirfs, he's definitely.
I'd like to claim Joe Burrow as the prop with the book. Hey, listen, he played at Ohio State. He's Big Ten.
Three picks inside the top six.
So that's two. You mentioned Wirfs, the offensive lineman's either going to go to the Giants or someone else in the top like 5, 6, 7 type thing.
What about
that's three right there in the top.
Yeah,
there's more.
Yes, there's some couple Big 12 in there. Yeah, it's going to be tough, man. There's so many SEC guys. It's crazy. Like, that's a tough bet, Gabe. Like, I'd say at first, I got to take the plus money with the under, but like, it is almost that's the thing. You got to lay the 55 cents if you want the over. I think there's going to be, so what is it, 15.5? Oh, man, there could be like 15 or 16. That's exactly, it's going to be so close. Craziness.
Rick Saratella will have some thoughts on some of these draft props that we're breaking down right now. We mentioned it. Yeah, the Miami Dolphins, the big favorite, guys, -150 for Tua right now. The Chargers are +195. Redskins +340. The Redskins aren't drafting Tua.
No.
Raiders 15. The Raiders would have to do something to move up. The Raiders aren't going to get them there. The Lions are 16-1. To get to it. The Panthers are 19. That's not happening. One guy, we were talking about Jalen Hurts, actually, Kev. And one team that I saw, there's been two teams, and you never know with the reports and stuff, but the two teams that said that they reportedly like Jalen Hurts, the Dallas Cowboys like him, and he could be a cheap backup, depending on when he get him. And supposedly Mayock and Gruden like him. You know that new character thing the Raiders are building? Hurts is that type of guy. You know what I mean? Played at a winning program, a couple of winning programs, is liked by everyone, is mean, he's an intense guy, Hurts. He never smiles, like he's very serious. I could see the Raiders taking a flyer on Jalen Hurts, actually.
They could. They absolutely could. And
they don't have the team to draft him, though. They have the team to draft Justin Herbert. They have the team to draft Jerry Jeudy. All they have for Jalen Hurts is the round, though. Sorry, Cam, cut you.
I got to throw something at you. How about the Patriots to draft two at 17-1?
I was going to say the Patriots roll the dice on Jalen Hurts in the later rounds.
I'm just saying, like, I'm looking at other options.
I'd be a little concerned. Right now if you're a Bills fan like I am. The Patriots aren't not going to do anything.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get on the grid, Sports Grid. I'm Morenci, and you know I live on the grid. Let's do this. It's game time decisions, although we've been joking with no games to make decisions on. We should rename the show Draft Time Decisions because we've been spending a lot of time talking about the NFL draft, and let's bring in a man right now. Let's get biblical, actually. It seems like we're in biblical times right now, Rick. The NFL draft Bible, the guru, steps up and in. Rick Saratella. Rick, thanks for joining us. How you doing?
Happy to be here. Preach the gospel. Some NFL draft. Take our minds off of some of this craziness.
Yeah, let's do it. I know you're in New York as well, so I'm glad that you're safe. And fortunately, we still have the NFL draft right now to break down as of now. I don't know if you saw the NFL subcommittee and GM 6-1 said they didn't want to do it. They said, hey, this isn't fantasy football. You know, we've got a lot of meetings that we've got to go through and you know, doctors and all this other type of stuff, physicals. Yeah, with that being stated, Rick, it is what it is. And every GM is in the same situation. This is where it you know what? Because you know this better than anyone, Rick. NFL general managers aren't sitting around watching college football during the season, are they?
No, you know, you make some good points here. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, everybody is in the same boat. And we went through with the free agency. It's time to keep it moving. And listen, the owners, say what you want about Roger Goodell. He is dominating the headlines here with the free agency, with the NFL draft. And in a way, it might be therapeutic for the fans to get back to a sporting event because, you know, quite frankly, this is probably the only event we might have for quite some time. But one last thing I will say. It's not going to impact day one or day two much, but day three, where you find out the teams that have the area scouts that can rely on that scouting department, that's where the teams are really going to shine.
That's a great point, Rick. I think we'll see down the road, right? We're going to find out 2, 3 years, 4 years from now who really does have the best scouting departments in the National Football League. Now, listen, I hate the term best ever. And in today's day and age, everything's the best ever, right? Oh, LeBron, everything they see now, kids, you know, I mean, there was a poll on ESPN, Rick, best college basketball players. It was like a bracket head-to-head. Zion Williamson beat Danny Manning. Like, come on. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, people get best ever. But I got to tell you, and you've been covering the draft a long time. You've been scouting these players a long time. You look at the wide receiver core. I've never seen it as deep as this. You're literally 20 deep of guys. Guys that are ranked like 14 to 17th this year are legitimately good football players. I see some good running backs as well. I'll be honest with you. I haven't really focused on the defensive side of the football too much yet in the draft because everything we do is like props and all that type of stuff. But let me ask you as a whole, how deep is this draft? And what's the defensive side of the ball? Like, what's your take on it? Because I know the wide receivers are deep. We got some good running backs, and I'm asking you by player, but what other positions and how good is this draft in your opinion?
You know, First off, I hope Pistol Pete Maravich made that list on the college basketball. But hey, you know, it is a year of wide receivers, 55 wide receivers in Indianapolis, which I think is an all-time record. And, you know, I was looking at some of those prop bets that are pretty favorable at the wide receiver position, actually, because CeeDee Lamb right now is favored to be the first wide receiver off the board from Oklahoma. But I think Jerry Jeudy from Alabama, I think.
Interesting. Plus, you think Judy's the player ahead of CeeDee? Like, you think he goes ahead of him?
I do, and I think you can get him at plus 160. And Henry Ruggs, you know, hey, we saw John Ross a couple years ago come off the board very high because of that speed. Well, Ruggs is a pretty good dark horse candidate there. He's right now third, but he could very well be the first receiver off the board. So that's how deep the wide receiver class is. You got guys like Denzel Mims and Jalen Reagor and even a guy like Michael Pittman from USC. Yep. That nobody's really talking about. These guys are going to go day two, day three, and become valuable contributors at the next level. You mentioned running backs. You know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is a guy, you know, I think he's a play the board right now. You can get good odds. There's some teams out there that have him as their number one running back. I think it's going to be Jonathan Taylor. Vegas is telling us DeAndre Swift. So there's some good prop bets out there on the skill position side. And defensively, I mean, listen, Chase Young is the cream of the crop. I think he's the most talented player in this year's draft. Derrick Brown from Auburn is a blue chipper, and yeah. Jeffrey Okuda from Ohio State. I mean, those guys are all top 10 potential.
So let's talk a little bit about the running backs. I've been talking about the running backs. You say you're not so sure it's DeAndre Swift. So do you think he's not, like, leaps and bounds better than everybody else at the running back position? You got Jonathan Taylor, and a guy that I'm surprised about, and FanDuel's got him at 52.5. Now, I'm not saying he's going to go before 52.5, but I'm saying if I'm an NFL general manager, I'm looking long and hard at this guy, and I want to ask you, and I'm a Michigan fan, so I can tell you firsthand, this guy terrorized us. He was a possible tackle, and I'm talking about Dobbins. You rushed for over 2,000 yards in the Big Ten. How come more people, like, what's the knock on him that people aren't really, like, panicking, saying, oh, my God, this guy's amazing, more than he is?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, isn't it? I've heard various things from different scouts on Dobbins. Some people will put him in that top echelon. Other guys are not so sure, and they question the speed. You know, does he have that breakaway explosive elite speed that you saw from Jonathan Taylor or DeAndre Swift? So I think that's what's holding Dobbins back. 52.5 is a pretty interesting prop bet. I think, you know, there might be one running back in the first round, which probably pushes all the other guys back.
Yeah.
I'm thinking past 52.5.
Yeah, me too. And, you know, Swift is at 28.5. So that's late first round. That's an accurate number, isn't it? Like, couldn't you see him going around there, like 26 to 32 type thing?
Yeah, I think, you know, when you win the Super Bowl, like the Chiefs, a luxury pick like a DeAndre.
You read my mind.
I should have picked.
We think a lot alike. I got to tell you, you should be worried about that. I said the same thing the other day about Swift. I said, man, some good team late in the draft is going to go, yeah, we're taking this kid. Right? 20, exactly. Like a team like the Chiefs. Let's talk about some of the other running backs that maybe aren't Florida State. They had a nice, he's a good running back. Except I'm always hesitant to Florida State players when we look at Cam. What's your take on Moss out of Utah? Because he seems like a physical enough kid that can, you know, he can pound. But Booker was, and I know he's not Booker, but when you get guys from the same school, right? What do you make of Moss?
Yeah, kind of like an Alfred Morris type of guy where he's got size, doesn't have the blazing 40. Alfred Morris was a sixth-round pick. I see Zach Moss, because of the medical, because of the slow 40 time, probably in that mid to late round type of situation. But I think at the end of the day, if you want a guy who can carry the rock between the tackles, be that two-down back, well, then Zach Moss is a guy that can do that.
And, you know, we talk about are they stars at the running back position? Probably not. But running backs in the NFL, there's always those guys in the third round, the fourth round that end up being pretty damn good and contributing. Look at Singletary with the Bills. We'll see if he can take the next step. And I'm seeing, talk to me about Joshua Kelly, the kid out of UCLA.
Yeah, I love Joshua Kelly. He's a really good, one of the more underrated guys. I think he can go top 100. This guy's thighs are built like tree trunks. And so he can break the arm tackles. He's got a, you know, sneaky elusiveness to him in the open field, can make defenders miss yard after run, yard after contact. Joshua Kelly from UCLA, this is a guy that, again, you know, maybe early day three could go on and start at the next level.
I mentioned Singletary. I am a Buffalo Bill fan. And a lot of people are excited about the Bills coming into the year. You know, they bring in Stephon Diggs. Josh Allen continues to develop. I think the failure in the playoff game is actually good for the Bills. They got to get a home playoff game. That's the thing. And this year, I think the division is there for them. I'm not adverse to bringing in another running back. So talk to me about this. You know, you mentioned Kansas City. Good football teams have depth. And I like Singletary, but I'm not opposed to bringing in another back as well if on the Buffalo Bills. Would you agree with that?
I think, you know, when you look around the league, how many bell cows are there really in this?
Exactly. You know, today you want two good guys, three good guys, right? The days of that one-star back are done, bro.
It's a running back by committee league, and there might be five or six feature backs in the entire NFL. But I think you're exactly right. You want that change of pace guy. You want that complimentary back. And, you know, take a look at a guy like Melvin Gordon, who thought who he was on his high horse, held out the entire season. And Austin Ekeler made us forget about Melvin Gordon real quick. Now he goes and signs with the Broncos. And, hey, he might be second fiddle to Philip Lindsay, who's an undrafted free agent guy. So running backs to our earlier conversation, why there might be only one guy in the first round and all those guys trickle down. But look at Singletary. He was not a very high pick. And, you know, he's probably going to be the best running back from that draft class.
So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the quarterbacks. Everyone's talking, obviously, about Joe Burrow. Tua's interesting just because how healthy is he? I think he's healthier than people thought he was going to be. I wanted to talk to you, though, about Jalen Hurts, a guy that not a lot of people are talking about, actually. And you know, are you a pro Jalen guy, or are you like, you know, how do you feel about him? And I saw some very, very interesting numbers. And it was Dave Richard that wrote the article, a fantasy guy, CBS. So I want to give him credit just because he put the work in here. And I was pro Kyle Allen last year. Now, listen, I wouldn't have taken him first overall. I don't think anyone else would have. But, you know, it's all it takes is one team, right? So he's a perfect fit. And I like Kyle Allen. And I like Lamar Jackson. So for the record, I like these young mobile quarterbacks. And I said, well, look, you look at what Baker Mayfield did at Oklahoma. And everyone doubted Kyle. And the numbers were the exact same. Right? Like, I remember reading an interview with Lincoln Riley. He's like, they were the exact same. The offense ran the same. The production was the exact same. So I said, well, if Baker did it, why couldn't Kyler do it? And I said, well, if Lamar Jackson could do it, why couldn't? I was pro Deshaun Watson as well. And the numbers are crazy when you look at Jalen Hurts. So he completed 69.7% of his passes. This is last year at Oklahoma. 69.7% of his passes. 78% of the throws on target. 11.3 yards per attempt. 9.4 percent touchdown rate, 2.4 interception rate, 5.6 yards per run, 11.7 rushes per touchdown. The year before, Kyler Murray, 69.1%, same thing, 80.9% throws on target. All right, Jalen was 78%, 11.6 per attempt. Jalen was 11.3 attempt, 11.2 touchdown rate, 9.4 touchdown rate, 7.2 yards per run, 5.6 yards per run. You hear where I'm going with this? Jalen Hurts has put up all the same numbers as Baker Mayfield did, as Kyler Murray did, yet people aren't talking about him. Is he a sleeper? What's your take on this kid?
You know, I think Jalen Hurts can very well be a successful quarterback at the next level. I think the difference between the guys that you mentioned and Jalen is, yes, the completion percentage is up there. The accuracy on paper looks great. I think the difference is under pressure, those off-platform throws.
Yeah.
You know, I think Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield even can improvise a little bit more, buy themselves some more time in the pocket, where Jalen just, he needs to kind of speed things up a little bit. And I saw that at the combine, even with his mechanics. It's all there, just needs to get faster. And, you know, he went down to the Senior Bowl, character, players gravitating towards him, the leadership intangibles, it's all there. And then you expect them to come out and, you know, kind of rise above, cream always rises to the top. And he was just okay at the Senior Bowl. Not the end of the world, but you would have just liked to see him kind of check off those boxes throughout the process at the Senior Bowl, at the Combine. But on film, it's all there. If you got to inject Jalen Hurts right away, it might be a messy situation, but I think if you let him develop and maybe give him a few games, a half a season or an entire season to kind of work on his mechanics, I think he can very well, just like a Dak Prescott, be a successful quarterback. Where it gets
good comparison, where he's being rumored, right? Yeah.
And interesting is, do you roll the dice with a Jalen Hurts, or do you take a Jameis Winston where you know what you're getting? Also kind of a project. Cam Newton's out there who's had some success in the league. So there's a lot of options here. Once you get past those top three or four quarterbacks, do you go with a veteran signal caller? Do you develop a guy like Jalen Hurts? Or do you use the Kansas City Eagles blueprint where you bring in a Bradford, you draft Wentz, you bring in a Mahomes, you draft Mahomes, you have Alex Smith, and do one of those kind of deals? So it'll be interesting.
You know, it is. And I think Jalen Hurts is one of these guys, Rick, as well, that you've got to take a chance and put him in a game, right? It's one of these days. It's like, yeah, he's not perfect, but trust me, once he's on the field, he'll win for you. I see that, but you're right. And Jalen Hurts, I like the arm strength. I remember at the combine, the guy was throwing like rockets, right? Pretty accurate bombs. He's strong as hell. He can bench press 700 pounds or whatever we know, but it's like he was the strongest kid on the football team in Oklahoma. Everyone loves him. You're right. But you're correct about that, isn't it? Because sometimes he'll make a nice play, but the decision process is weird. He's erratic. He'll lose 18 yards on a sack. He thinks he can outrun people. Sometimes he's oblivious. He's going to get crushed and he doesn't know. Other times he'll take off right away when a play develop. You're right. He is a little erratic with the decision making, but there's a lot to like about him. And you mentioned Dak Prescott. Let's be real, dude. The Dallas Cowboys fell ass backwards into him. They wanted to draft Connor Cook, and he got taken a pick before by the Raiders. And Dak was going to be the third string guy. They had Tony Romo, Kellen Moore. They both get hurt, and Dak, you know what I mean? Like, so it's funny, like, how, you know, the perception of reality, it's all different. Where do you think Jalen ends up going? His pick is 72.5. I got to believe a little lower. I think he's going to be like a late third rounder, fourth rounder type thing.
I'm going to go, even if you told me he goes in the second round, I wouldn't be shocked, because it is.
Yeah, you think that high, huh? Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, if you look around the league.
And I'm hearing the Raiders like him. The Gruden's got a thing for him.
Well, the Raiders are looking for quarterbacks. And you also got to factor in, hey, guys like Phillip Rivers on a one-year deal. How long does Big have left? Drew Brees is already being
moved. How about
moved.
The Patriots and Jalen Hurts? Belichick can roll the dice, right?
Right. And then Belichick drafts a quarterback every year, but when you take a look at some of these quarterbacks around the league, they're not going to be in the NFL the next year or two. So everybody really
good
is
point.
Looking at a developmental guy.
That's why it's interesting with Winston as well. He's going to sign somewhere eventually. And is it a team where it's like New Orleans or something that they say, listen, or Pittsburgh, listen, Ben's only going to be here. You got to bite the bullet for a year, but you'll be the quarterback in the future. I don't know. It's fascinating. Right now. So listen, we've only got about 2 minutes left here right now, and I enjoy talking football with you, Rick. Name a quarterback no one's talking about a little bit deeper down. Last year, it was Ryan Lindley that everyone loved. You take a look, they love him a lot. Well, who are you looking at this year? Who's sort of a guy that's flying under the radar a little bit?
James Morgan, Florida International, a guy that was on my radar before the season. Didn't have the greatest year on film, but I'll tell you what, when we got him out at the combine, he was in that same group as Jalen Hurts. And those two guys kind of stood above the rest of the other guys. And, he's been a guy linked to the Patriots. So you want a third, fourth round guy, Morgan from Florida International. He's got all the tools to work with. I think he's got a lot of upside.
Hey, it was really fun talking football with you. Shout out to Carver and Pharrell for hooking it up. We'll definitely.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Game Time Decision continues. I am Gabriel Renzi, throwing it down with the raging redhead, Cam Stewart. Get on the grid, Sports Grid. And a shout out to everyone on the Sports Grid team doing a great job through these difficult times. We hope everybody is staying safe. We know a lot of work is going on, editing and stuff. And even I wonder, and Cam sometimes asks me, where the hell are those shows we're doing? Are they ever going to air or what? And I'm like, dude, I don't know. They take like 12 hours to edit and upload and all that other stuff. So, you know, we understand everybody's putting a lot of work in right now. We were speaking with the powers that be, and, you know, maybe not next week, but we are looking at ways to get back to some live programming as well moving forward. So stay tuned for that. But we do love all you guys, all of our regulars out there, and we appreciate you watching the videos and the support and all the questions and the support on Twitter as well. And we got a couple other more questions, actually. Buckery. What's up, Buckery? Buckery asks about Dana White still trying to go ahead with UFC 249. Should it just be canceled now, or should the UFC continue for looking for opponents for Tony Ferguson? And this one's easy. I don't have a problem with the NBA looking at thinking, you know what, we're going to play in Orlando in August. Like, the NBA is not saying we're going to play somewhere April the 18th. Yeah, that's what Dana White's trying to do. It's less than 3 weeks away. He keeps saying about how he has a place that wants to do it. He's never said where. So if you really had a place, how come you never announce it? And my feeling was that it was Russia. I think Dana thought, I can do this in Russia. And Khabib went back to Russia like a week and a half ago.
And he's not coming back.
No. And I said at the time, Khabib's not flying to Russia and flying back. Like, the only way he's getting back into Russia is because he's a Russian citizen, yep. Right? Like, there's a no travel anywhere in the world right now, guys, pretty much. Like, you have to be a citizen to wherever you're going.
Yep.
You know, unless you're a doctor, unless you're, you know, essential. And I saw, like, people are getting denied, like, couples are getting broken up and stuff.
Yeah, families.
It sucks. You know, if you're not married and stuff. I saw a couple at the U.S.-Canadian border. They've been together like 8 years or something, but they're not married.
Yep.
And they basically said, we can't. Like, it sucked. They weren't trying to be jerks about it, but if we let you in, we got to let every couple in. And then where does this, you know what I mean? You have to be, hey, get married.
This is where you want it? Get hitched.
Yeah, like, I don't know what to tell you.
That's the best. Well, hey, people marry guys from other countries all the time. Hey, do me a solid.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Where's the envelope? I'll get you in. Don't worry.
Exactly. I'm just saying. So, yeah, Khabib wasn't flying to Russia last week. Yeah. He knew all along, I'm not coming back.
For sure.
Right? So he knew, I'm not coming back to North America. So he damn well knew. You don't fly to Russia. It's not flying like flying to Florida.
Exactly.
On Dana's private charter. You're flying to Russia, okay? So he's in Russia. Russia's in lockdown right now. Everyone in Europe pretty much has locked the countries down unless it's essential travel. So he can't leave. I think they knew that, but they didn't realize Putin was going to shut things down. I think Dana, this is just me personally thinking, I think Dana thought, go to Russia, I'll work it out with Russia, and I'll pull it off. I'm buddies with Trump and Putin, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm going to make a couple of calls. We're going to make this happen in Russia. But when Khabib left Russia wasn't shut down yet, Cam.
Yep.
Like, they knew about the virus and there was sort of isolation going on, but Russia has closed everything down. Like, the streets are like, they're empty in Russia right now.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, Putin might be, you know, whatever, a lot of things, but he's not dumb. He knows it's not going to be good for him if everyone gets sick in Russia. So, you know, his system can't handle it and they're going to blame him. So he's taking it very seriously. And I think they probably told him, no UFC. Yeah. No UFC. Like, you know what I mean? Like, no.
Niet.
We like, but niet. No. I can imagine Putin. We do in summer. Yeah. So No, to me, I mean, come on, man. There were sports books out there with odds up for this stuff, and they had North Korea on the list. So are we going to North Korea? Like, really?
I'm sure. Really? No, think about Dana.
Like, you got to give it up at some point.
He doesn't give a rat's ass. Like, all these other leagues are doing whatever. It's like, oh, it's business as usual. It's like, this guy, like, just, he'll do any, like, it's crazy. It's like, he's not really, I don't think, really grasping the severity. Like, if the NBA could do it, they would be doing it. It's like, dude, man, like, are you not getting the memo? Like, it's not happening. Like, I don't get it. You know what I mean? It's like, every
thing, Kev,
we'll find something. We'll find out.
He's got no location and no fighters.
Yeah.
And he's going on still.
I know.
The thing is, but he's got all these fighters on Twitter, God bless him. They're like, I'll fight, I'll fight. The thing is, that's all good. You can agree to fight. So let's say you agree to fight. You live in Florida right now. Where are you? How are you flying anywhere? Like, where are you going?
Hey, right. You're
no,
going
there. You know I mean? Like,
destination unknown. It's true.
No, like, all right. So maybe they can pull it off in the United Emirates. Like, basically, they need to go to a dictator land.
Yeah.
Like, no normal country will do this, Cam, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, the only two countries that are somewhat normal, there's three, actually. Belarus, Cam, are open for business.
I know. What's up
with Belarus? All you gamblers out there, you can bet on Belarus and everything. They got everything going. They're nuts. They got everything going.
I know. I was watching, looking at Belarus hockey lines. I'm like, I don't know who these guys are. Yeah, what's Belarus doing? Are they just saying, screw it? Like, we'll manage ourselves?
No, you know, I'll tell you. Alexander Lukashenko is the president of Belarus. He literally doesn't believe that the virus is real.
Wow.
Yeah, he doesn't think. So there's 10 million people that live in the country, and none of them, like, their leagues are going on. And word of no lie, it's all funny and stuff, but he's dead serious. He says, drink vodka daily, work hard in the fields, and then take a sauna and you'll be fine. And then he gave the line.
It sounds good, but
then he gave the line that it's better to die on our feet, live on our feet, than die on our knees.
Yeah, no, I will say this though, for his remedy, alcohol, right? Like, a high percentage of alcohol. That's what alcohol kills things. But there's no, come on, like, that's a guessing game. You didn't talk to a scientist. Alcohol with this and that.
Everyone's gonna drink alcohol then, and you're gonna have in a year. Everyone's gonna have liver disease in your country.
Actually, Gabe. Yes.
There's a domino effect for everything, Cam.
Yes, there is.
All right. So speaking of diseases, I imagine blood pressure and other cardio could be a problem.
Yes.
When we speak of eating this much McDonald's, as we see here, Cam. So this was put up. I don't really understand the $3,500 part because
Why?
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, it's kind
like,
of
like
yeah.
Anyone, if people would do a hell of a lot less, like, come on, man. People would have sex with, like, strangers of the same sex for $3,500. Like, you know what I'm saying?
I put it out. I'm like, wow, $3,500 for, like, trying just being an absolute pig and maybe eating this McDonald's?
Yeah, $3,500. Like, come on.
Like, you know, $500. Like, can we start there or, like, a couple hundred? Like, that's.
Like, so anyway, So Trevor Donovan says, somebody offers you $3,500 to finish everything on this tray in 90 minutes. Would you do it? So it looks like what? It's four large sodas.
Yep.
Those are triple. They're triple cheeseburgers. So you got two triple cheeseburgers. Looks like about 40 nuggets and a couple of big fries there. 90 minutes. Yeah. That's not, you know. It's not as easy as it looks. People think, oh, I'd crush that in 10 minutes or something. You wouldn't.
Easy.
And for me, it would get disgusting. That's the problem. Like, after a few, like, after enough, you'd be like, oh, God. Like, that's a lot of nuggets there.
It sure is. Like, yeah, no, like.
I can see you crushing the burgers and running into a wall with the nuggets after.
You know what it is? Actually, you know what I think it was? I'm actually going to tell you what would be troubling. The sodas. I think I could get through the food, but you'd be drinking because the water, like in those eating competitions, bring it down. Like if you keep on guzzling soda,
You couldn't do the sodas first because you'd be full. You'd be like, oh God, I can't. Yeah, you have four tubs of Coke in your stomach.
Down here, like the nuggets are easy. The burgers, I think I can get to. And I think it can be done in under like some guy tweeted, what does he say, 30 minutes? That's not true. Like, no, I don't care. Like, even these professionals, that's a very difficult tray. I'm thinking, though, in about an hour, 60 minutes, you could, I think I'd give it a shot. I'm not sure if I could do it, but I think I could.
I got to tell you, it does make me want to eat at McDonald's.
Oh, yeah, they got good deals right now. Yeah, I was going to stroll over there and get a McChicken. I haven't had one of those in a while. $3.
Get it to go. Drive-thru. Can you walk through the drive-thru?
Bakers are pissed, though. That was the place that they used to hang out, like, in the neighborhood. Like, it's kind of like Callaway. They got nowhere to go. They used to sit there, read the paper, and, like, get 9 cups of coffee and pay for the first one and hang out at McDonald's all day, right? I used to meet my parents there, but... that's the problem, man. They love the free coffee. I don't know where they're going now.
This isn't good for anybody. I know you saw the story. Even the mob in New York has taken a hit. They've got no one to shake down, and they got no bets. There's no games. They got no numbers. They got nothing. No loan sharking. There's no nothing.
If I was the mob, I'd come up with an email with all the Belarus sports and explain everything, and then, yeah, just send them an email and say, start gambling. It's the only league in town. You're right. The mob is getting a hit. No restaurants, no sports. Yeah, tough times for the mob.
Jordan Kovacs. What's up, Kovacs?
Kovacs.
This one, wow, Kovacs, is they're coming with some real questions here. Pick a superpower. All right. Number one, fly.
Yeah.
Number two, read people's minds. Number three, teleport. Like Captain Kirk, you know, you can go, let it go wherever you need to go. Number four, be invisible. The Invisible Man.
Wow. Those are some great offers. I got to tell you
what. And the last one, see into the future, but you can't use for betting purposes.
That's not going to happen. Then that one's not.
You see, Kovacs, I don't need to see in the future for betting purposes, because if I could read people's minds or be invisible, I'd know everything anyways.
What's the problem with the reading the minds one? It'd be kind of like you're at the bar and the chick would be going, this guy's, he's ugly, he's too hairy. Like, after a while, I think it would kind of hurt your feelings.
Actually, that's a good point. You see, Cam, you're thinking like an episode of The Twilight Zone.
I am.
You think that reading people's minds at first would be, because I'm thinking, it'd be great. I'd get the world nuclear secrets. You know what I mean? I'd know everything. I'd just be like, yeah, what stock is going to be the big one tomorrow? I'd like with the chairman of the board, let me read his mind. But it's a good point. You're saying the real human aspect. You'll know what people think about you. And they'll be like, I hate this guy.
Yeah. Your boss, he thinks you're a great guy. Meanwhile, he thinks you're a dick. And the girl's like, I'll sleep with you. He's not really that. I don't know.
So flying is cool, but what are you going to get out of flying? I can fly in an airplane.
Teleportation. I go anywhere, anytime I want. Invisible's good too, but I like teleportation. What do you think?
I don't know. I'm kind of stuck on the read the mind one. The read the mind one's pretty good.
It's pretty good, but I couldn't handle it, I don't think. Too emotional. I get upset.
Yeah, but the thing is, you wouldn't know everyone that you're reading their mind.
I am thinking of it like a Twilight Zone, though. I think after a while it would get to you. It
like,
sounds
think about like if you were betting and you could read Tom Brady's mind right before he was going to throw it. Like,
that's very effective.
Yeah, you know what, Cam? I got to be honest. I'm not smart enough to be reading people's minds. I wouldn't know how to use it.
Me neither. I'd butcher it somehow.
Come on, Kovacs. Can't you just give us Biff's Sporting Almanac?
Exactly. I'll go teleportation, though, out of the mall. Very tough, though. I would love to teleport anywhere at any time.
Well, you kind of can with travel as it is.
Yeah? No, you can't.
No, it's not as fast.
I'll see you guys were in Atlantic City when this is over. I just go, and I'm in Atlantic City. We party for the night. I go back home. Oh, there's a game here. I'm in the stadium. Like, you know what I mean? You don't have to pay for tickets. You don't do nothing.
How times have changed, okay? I'm like, I remember when I was a kid, it was the TV show, The Invisible Man. And thing is, he was a nice guy. Like, he was, like, kind of getting screwed. He was like, you got to help me get back so people can see me and stuff. Now there's, like, a movie, The Invisible Man. It's basically a guy, like, you know, pulling the girl's sheets down in bed. She's like, what's that? Like, The Invisible Man. Like, I'm like...
A commercial, this is kind of like a, this is a bad porno. Hey, baby, I'm the Invisible Man. Feet come off. Ooh.
All right, so.
Yes.
Just for the record, for people, if you're wondering about the coronavirus, Chris Cuomo got it. And we talked about it earlier. Chris Cuomo, somebody asked, hey, did you see Chris Cuomo got coronavirus? Yeah, we did. And he's in better shape. Chris Cuomo can like bench press me and Cam together.
Yeah, honestly, that guy can climb mountains and stuff. I could barely get up my stairs, and this guy got it. Now I'm very concerned. Extra
like Chris Cuomo. Imagine if he had to live on our diet for a week. He wouldn't be able to do it.
He can actually
like, imagine like if you told Cuomo, yeah, listen, one day you eat like Morenci, the next day Cam.
Oh yeah,
he'd be done. Like Exxon gas stations, Nestle like protein shakes, like KFC buckets. He'd end up sicker than he is now.
I was pretty good. Last night, though, I ate 2 bags of ravioli, and then but I put all the extra parm and the cheese on it and garlic bread with cheese. Like, cheese is a real big fattener. And I did have a vegetable, Gabe. I ate broccoli. I did a stir fry with broccoli and beef. I told you, I'm getting better, buddy. Trying.
All right, so we've had a lot of fun breaking down the National Football League draft. Thanks to Rick Saratella for joining us on the program. We'll definitely do it again with Rick. Great guy. We'll get into the more props, as we stated. One thing we were going to get to, I promise we'll get into the next show. It's listed on FanDuel, Cam, under offense, defense.
Yep.
Under draft props, offense, defense. It's team to draft an offense or a defensive player with their first pick in the draft, and they have it up for every team in the NFL.
I like
that. So, like Arizona, will they go offense or defense? Offense, minus 215. A team I was curious, the first team I scrolled to, were the New York Giants, because you got to believe, and you mentioned the worst kid out of Iowa, you know, you got to believe the Giants. They need protection for Saquon Barkley.
They do.
They need protection for Danny Jones. They got to get some protection in here. So you got to believe they're going to go with an offensive lineman. Minus 235 that the Giants go first with an offensive player.
Yeah, I like that. I think they will get a lineman. If they got stud players, you got to protect them, Gabe. But maybe too bad you can't parlay them, because 235 is a lot of juice.
We'll go.
It's a lock.
Later in the week, we'll go through each team. Offense, defense, we'll give you our opinion. Yeah. Like, I'll tell you now, the Buffalo Bills, they're going to go defense. They're a defensive-minded team. They already brought in Stephon Diggs. They're not going to draft another offensive player right now, not at least with their first pick. And it doesn't have to be the first-round pick. It's the first selection.
Oh, okay.
Yes, it's the first selection of the team. Like, the Bills don't even have a first-round pick.
Yeah, so first... They might go offensive lineman again, Gabe, even though their lineman is good to protect a guy like
they
Al.
They need defensive linemen. They do.
They need a lot. Yeah. Their defense is good, but you're right.
But no, the Giants, we talked about over-under linemen taken in the first round. That's another prop that we'll definitely get back into.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.